Today, we are asking a simple question that seems to confuse many people in Washington and even some around the world. What does America First actually mean? Well, for millions of Americans, the answer is clear. It means putting the interest of American workers, American families, and American security ahead of global bureaucracies, endless wars, and economic policies that ship our jobs overseas. But critics say America First is isolationist. They say it pulls the United States away from global leadership. So which is it? Is America First a retreat from the world or a smarter way to lead it? We're breaking down what America First looks like across the board in economics, in domestic policy, in foreign affairs, and how America uses its military power. I'm Scotty Del Hughes. Welcome to America First. For decades, American policy, both Republican and Democrat, followed a very different philosophy. It was globalism first. Trade deals were signed that hollowed out American manufacturing towns. Factories moved overseas, while politicians promised that new industries would replace them. In many communities, sadly, they never did. Now, in foreign policy, American troops were sent across the globe for conflicts that often had no clear end, no clear victory, and no clear connection to the everyday safety of Americans back home. Meanwhile, Washington elites told the American people that these sacrifices were simply the price of leadership. But something has shifted. Millions of voters started asking a basic question. Why does it always seem like America comes last? Why are we funding other nations' security while our own borders struggle? Why are we protecting foreign industries while our own workers lose their job? And why are American taxpayers expected to bankroll international institutions that often work against American interest? The American First movement wasn't born out of isolationism. It was born out of frustration. Frustration that American workers were forgotten. Frustration that American sovereignty was being negotiated away. And frustration that politicians seemed more concerned about global applause than the people who elected them. See, America First doesn't mean abandoning allies. It means redefining leadership, strong borders, fair trade, peace through strength, and a government that remembers its first responsibility is to the American people. We're going to explore what that looks like, at least in practice. So joining me now are two longtime voices in political commentary, Steve Malzberg, a broadcaster and political analyst who has spent decades covering national politics, and Steve Gill, political strategist and host, who has been deeply involved in conservative policy discussions for years. Malzberg, Gill, welcome to America First.
Thank you, Scotty.
Well, I want to start with the economic side of this. You know, for decades, Washington has pursued these trade policies that critics have said benefited multinational corporations, but it actually hurt the American worker. Supporters of America First argue that tariffs, renegotiated trade deals, bringing manufacturing back home are essential. Steve Gill, what does an America First economic policy actually look like in practice?
Well, first of all, I worked 30 years ago for the U.S. Trade Representative's Director of Intergovernmental Affairs, and we were actively engaged in both engaging other countries and expanding our exports and imports, and at the same time, trying to fight against the tariffs that were being imposed against us. President Trump has been accused of starting a trade war this year. We've been at a war for the last 30 or 40 years. We just weren't fighting back. And now we finally are reducing the taxes on our goods flowing into other countries, which some say is, you know, punishment of our businesses and our investors. The bottom line is they've had high tariffs blocking our products, manufactured, agriculture, and otherwise, for a long time. We're just putting things back on an even keel, which will benefit manufacturers here, will benefit consumers here. That doesn't happen overnight. I mean, if you open new markets to our agriculture products, it takes a while to plant a crop, grow a crop, and get it to market. So these things don't happen immediately, but they are happening in the process at a pretty good pace.
Steve Malzberg, that's been my frustration, though, looking at President Trump's economic agenda, his economic policy. A lot of the pushback has come from Republicans, especially regarding tariffs. So why would it not be America First to try to make it fair what other countries are charging us, we charge back. Why would that not be considered an America First policy that the majority, even conservatives, Republicans, say that they're behind?
Well, I think for the most part, the majority of Republicans and conservatives are behind it. And I think everything Steve said is absolutely true. And it all goes back to Donald Trump. Look, we're dealing here with a president that the likes of which we just haven't seen in so many different aspects of who he is, how he acts, what he says, what he's afraid to do and not afraid to do. And, of course, the most recent Supreme Court ruling against one of the tariff structures that he had, well, he just said basically what he's allowed to do under the law. Okay, we'll just redo that a little bit, and I'll go under a different law and do it this way. So I think we've seen an economy that was inherited by this administration from Joe Biden after a disastrous 4 years. It's turned around. It's begun to turn around. It's a slow process. It's not going to happen overnight. But just think about it, Scotty, as you alluded to, as Steve alluded to, for how many decades has the status quo stifled our economy, even when we had a booming economy or a good economy. Think of how much more it could have been if we didn't have the restrictive circumstances with tariffs and other unfair doctrines that have just been accepted by previous administrations. So what Donald Trump is doing, what he has done, and what he hopefully will continue to do will result in a great turnaround given the time to take effect.
Well, that's the thing. Given the time to take effect, you know, another issue, I'm going to stick with you on this, Malzberg, because another major piece of this America First discussion has been focused on the domestic policy, particularly immigration and border security. Now, conservatives argue you cannot have a strong country without a secure border and a government focused on the needs of its own citizens first, health care to education to public safety. How does the America First philosophy actually reshape domestic priorities for those here in America at home?
Well, I mean, we see it. We see it every day, and we see the news media going crazy that they can't stand it. We see Democrats going crazy that they can't stand it. You know, talking about what America First is and what it means, how about what America First is not? When the president gave his State of the Union and had the nerve, the gall to say that the responsibility of the American government is to take care of the American people first, not illegal aliens, Who wouldn't stand and applaud for that? Any American would. No, the Democrats sat and did not. They sat and did not stand when a young girl, a little girl, was picked up by her father. She was there. She almost got killed by an illegal alien who was granted a commercial driver's license. He was in a truck. He couldn't read what the signs meant. He almost killed the girl. The Democrats didn't stand. The Democrats didn't stand for the mother when she was introduced of a Ukrainian immigrant who was stabbed to death on a train in North Carolina by a murderer who had been released from prison 20 times, and they wouldn't stand. So that's what America First is not. Going to visit a criminal illegal alien in a foreign prison where he's just been deported by U.S. immigration, that is not. So it's just as important to point out what is not America First as it relates to what you just brought up, Scotty, as it is to point out what America First is.
Well, and to that point, Steve Gill, let's talk about this. You know, America First is not a phrase that was just coined underneath Donald Trump. Now, granted, it probably has more traction because it's, you know, been put on every shirt, every campaign sign under the Trump administration. But this goes all the way back even to President Carter used this phrase. JFK used this phrase. Lots of people have used the phrase America First over the years. Yet Democrats continue to be the ones that say, oh, this isn't about America. Actually, I don't think. Do they even say that they don't like America First? Their policies don't, though. And that's what I want to ask you about, because when you look at the immigration situation, more people were deported at this point that they're saying underneath President Obama, underneath a Democrat, than there even has been at Trump at some point. So why is President Obama, why isn't he taken out to the woodshed by Republicans and Democrat ilk when it comes to the immigration policy like we've seen Donald Trump?
Well, we should never expect the Democrats to be honest about what their policies actually are. They're not going to go out and proclaim, we're for America last. That's what their policies are. And as Steve pointed out, they wouldn't even stand for all these individuals who've been harmed by illegal aliens, who've been harmed by the policies of the left. For God's sake, they barely stood up for the U.S. hockey team. So they are not America First. They just don't want to admit that they're really for America last. And in terms of how these policies help working Americans, families here in this country, when you have millions of illegals deported or who voluntarily leave and go home, our insurance costs go down for car insurance because we're not paying high rates because we're getting hit by people who don't have insurance. Our rental rates go down because we don't have people clogging up the apartments who have no business being here because they've gone home. Our rental rates go down. Our housing rates go down as entry rates come down. Now, all of the things that we're paying go down and become more affordable when we stop carrying health care costs, illegal immigrant costs, criminal costs of what the illegals are costing us. But again, as you pointed out, it takes time. You don't just flip a switch. We don't see manufacturing come back, even though President Trump has announced $18 trillion in investment coming here. You got to get past the regulatory burdens that Democrats impose in most of the big cities to build a plant, to start hiring people. So it's coming. The challenge is Americans are not very patient, and it is going to take a little bit of time. One thing else on the tariffs. When we look at the revenue that's coming in from the tariffs, and President Trump is looking at that and the tariff dividend, as we bring more of these manufacturing facilities back to America, those tariff collections will drop. So we can't keep depending on that revenue source, but as we create jobs and wealth and prosperity here, we will replace it.
Okay, so we've talked about domestic issue. I got to go to foreign policy before we go to a break. Steve Malzberg, you know, a lot of people look to America to step up and take their responsibility for everything going on in the world. In fact, America's often been accused of being the policeman of the world. Does America First, though, this policy change the way America leads the world, or did it simply change who benefits from that leadership?
Well, that's a great question, and that is a focal point of what's been going on. You know, ever since we went into Iran, the first day of a war where American troops were putting their lives at risk, where in the beginning we lost six brave young men and women, and the media and the left were on the attack. Oh, he said he wasn't going to start any more wars. Oh, he said America First, so he's not going to go to war anymore. Well, if you take on a country like Iran, the world's biggest supporter, financer, and perpetrator of terrorism around the world, a country that is responsible for the death of so many Americans over decades and decades, if you decide to say, hey, they're close to getting a nuclear bomb, and or they're close to having ballistic missile capabilities that could hit America eventually, that is protecting America. That is America First. And for the left, being the media and the Democrats and the radical leftist progressives, which make up most of the media and Democrats, to try to gargle it and gurgle it and make it confusing and say, well, but the president said no more war. How is this America First? You are protecting America. That you're getting even for the past deaths, you're trying to prevent deaths now, and you're worried about the immediate future or the foreseeable future, which could result in catastrophic deaths and destruction for our country. So I think that is a huge part of America First, and it's a part that has to be accepted by the entire right, and the left has to wake up because their policies have led us to where we were right when Trump decided to go in and bomb Iran.
There is a lot to break down on that, hence why we're going to do it after the break. Steve Malzberg, Steve Gill, stay right there. Because when we come back, we're going to continue this discussion and look at the political future of America First. Is it just one movement that's tied to just one president? Or has it become the defining philosophy of a new generation of conservative leadership? More with Steve Malzberg and Steve Gill when America First continues. Welcome back to America First. I'm Scottie Nell Hughes, and tonight we're talking about what America First policy actually means for the country moving forward. Now, still with us is Steve Malzberg and Steve Gill. Gentlemen, before the break, we were talking about economics, domestic priorities, and America's role in the world. Well, I want to broaden that conversation a bit, bring in Steve Gill about this, because, Steve Malzberg did bring up a very good point. He talked about what was going on currently in Iran. America First people, though, might say, well, if we can do it in Iran, why not other countries, though, that we might consider to be threats to America? What separates, how do we choose foreign policy-wise, what are the good standards that need to be set to choose what countries America First policy should incorporate?
First of all, from the very outset of our nation, you had George Washington warning about foreign entanglement. So we've always had, as a default setting, an isolationist strain in the U.S., which in many cases has delayed us getting involved internationally to a point where we were too little, too late. By waiting, it was more expensive in blood and treasure than if we'd gone in earlier. And World War II, I think, is a prime example. It's also the fact that you have the media and their left-wing lackeys who lie and propagandize and distract us from our need to participate in the world. A week after we went in, snatched Maduro, got him out of that, and have put Venezuela on a path to peace, prosperity, and freedom, you had liberals holding up signs in the U.S. a week after saying, stop the war, bring our troops home. They weren't there. The war lasted 2 hours, maybe an hour and 45 minutes. Immediately after the bombing started in Iran, you had the same exact signs being held up by protesters in the U.S. and in international capitals, chanting the same phrases, hands off Iran, stop the war, bring our troops home. So again, the left makes it confusing intentionally. They're not that stupid. They hope we are. So again, what is the intent when we get involved? It's transactional. If a small country in Africa has issues going on internally, it doesn't affect us economically. We're going to be less likely to get involved, even though the death toll may be high. If it's in the Middle East, where oil matters, we're going to be more likely to get involved. If it's in our hemisphere, South America, Central America, we're more likely to get involved. Afghanistan was a long war, but what was our transactional interest there unless we wanted more poppies and heroin? So I think you sometimes obscure the interest in one in conflict. We had a reason to go in initially because they were launching terrorist attacks here. But long term, what's our economic, political, or military interest? And that's a case-by-case basis.
And you're right. And that's one of the biggest political debates that are happening right now. But there's another one that's going on, Steve Malberg. And America First is not just with this campaign slogan, but a governing philosophy. Let's talk about whether the policies we've been discussing represent a permanent shift in American politics underneath this administration moving forward. You know, for decades, both parties largely supported global trade agreements, international military commitments, and expanding federal programs. Those were losing standards, I feel like, to voters. Voters have been demanding something different. What do you feel like?
If we're talking about under this administration, I think it's going to remain constant. I think what we're seeing is what we're going to be getting, and what we have been getting is what we're going to be getting for the rest of the 3 years. I think though, when it comes time to pick a successor to Donald Trump and who will, you know, be the nominee for the party going forward in 2028, I think you might see some voices with different kinds of opinions, different kinds of philosophies, and it might appeal to some. Although, let me point out, if we're talking about, you know, the supporters of the Republican Party and Donald Trump, there was a recent poll that just came out, and I'm sorry, I don't know whose it was, and I'm not going to be specific with numbers, but Donald Trump at this point in his second term, okay, at this point in his second term, has greater support from within his own party than Barack Obama did, and then Bill Clinton did. I'm not sure about Ronald Reagan, but so the people who voted for Donald Trump, the Republicans who voted for him, are pretty well enamored of what he's been doing. But I do think going forward there might be changes. Now, the left is going to run on changing everything, obviously, and I think that it's going to be the Republicans' job to make sure that they make the public aware of what the consequences would be of changing so many of the things that this administration has been doing.
You know, and that's the thing, when you're looking at what this administration is doing, Steve Gill, do you, and actually I'm going to stick with you, keep with you, Steve Malzberg, because do you believe this America First approach has fundamentally changed what voters are going to expect from their leaders, both Republicans and Democrats?
Well, no, I think Democrats are just, you know, off the cliff. I mean, look, you've had Bill Clinton, when Hillary Clinton was running for president, had to apologize for three of his biggest achievements, policies. One was welfare reform, one was don't ask, don't tell, and the other was the crime bill. He had to apologize for all of those. Yet Barack Obama apologizing for things that he did during his administration because the party is so far to the left. So I think if the Democrats ever get into power, this country, you won't know. There'll be no filibuster if they take over. There'll be two more states, Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C. They'll stack the Supreme Court, and the country as we know it will be over. And that's not an exaggeration. So it's incumbent upon the Republicans to put that, to say exactly what I just said, and let the left dispute it. But no, I think I think if the Republicans could maintain control, you'll see to one extent or another a continuation of what we've been seeing on just about every front, but with some modifications.
Well, and those modifications are what I think are, you know, go with time. They roll time. That being said, Steve Gill, looking ahead, do you see as the biggest challenges to implementing America First policies in Washington, D.C.? Is it from the other side, or is it within their own party? Is there still a debate happening within the Republican Party about it?
First of all, let me touch on what Steve was saying about, you know, the Democrats and what they'll do if they gain power. We need to act preemptively. Let's go ahead and bring Cuba, Alberta, and Venezuela in. There's talk that, you know, you bring Cuba in, we can either call it Marco Cubio, Lower Florida, or Mara Lower. Alberta would be good. Let's go ahead, and if we're going to add a couple of states, beat them to the punch with people who are going to be more likely to vote and think the right way. I think the challenge moving ahead is we're going to put more focus, I think, as America First, on our neighborhood, South Central America and the Caribbean. We've ignored that region for way too long. We've allowed the socialism and communism to spread throughout South and Central America that is now reversing dramatically. You know, we almost have a refresh of the Monroe Doctrine that we can call the Donroe Doctrine. And I think that's part of America First, is it's our region, it's our backyard. And again, the Democrats are going to oppose that at every step of the way, just they oppose anything that may actually benefit our country internally or externally.
But then, Steve Malzberg, what do you say to all of those Republicans who voted Trump, who right now seem maybe a little disenfranchised by some of the policies that they're seeing coming out of this administration, particularly into foreign? What do you say to them to say, hold on, just let's see how this plays out before you totally disregard your support for this administration?
Yeah, no. Well, again, I think that the base, the Republicans, and I do think the number was somewhere around 89% support Trump. But there are, you know, the hits and misses. Not everybody was on board with Iran because of that to me fallacy that it's not America First. And I think you do run that risk going forward, depending on what Trump does. If Steve is right, I think we need to look in our own backyard, in our own neighborhood, because there's immediate threats there. And President Trump has said repeatedly, yeah, Cuba's government is going to fall. They're going down. But we had Venezuela. I think you run a risk if you do too much, too soon, too fast, where people could get disenchanted. And I think, you know, and what you're losing is some of the people that Trump picked up. The people in the Latino community, the people in the African-American community, those who traditionally voted Democrat but didn't go for Harris, thank God, and went for Trump, I think you run the risk of losing some of them. I'm not saying what we're doing isn't right, but I'm saying that, you know, you also have to keep in mind that there is a future, and that future is us or them. I hate to put it that way, but for America First and for the future of America, it better be us. And it better not be them. And you have to keep that in mind on every level and every aspect of what you're doing.
Well, let's look at what that us is made up to. That is the one thing that's great about America, is we do have a lot of diversity. You know, Steve Gill, how do you make sure that this is what are safe topics that you can be guaranteed is America First for all Americans and not just certain demographics? And do you believe that everybody within the Trump administration also share these same America First values over maybe individual first?
I think most of the Trump administration does. It's one of the reasons I think he's been remarkably successful in the first year since he was inaugurated for a second term. The first term, you had people, you know, pulling in many different directions. The cabinet, the next level, the next tier down have all been kind of rowing the boat in the same direction, which is why he's had a remarkably successful first year. I do think that going forward, you know, you're going to have instances around the world, they're going to draw your attention. And we've seen that, whether it's the Ukraine-Russia conflict, whether it's Iran, whether it's what's happened between Venezuela, what may happen with Cuba as we move forward. when you look at international events, they're going to always pull a president's attention abroad. But they have to keep their focus on domestic policy, particularly domestic economic policy, as we get closer to the midterm and then the general elections in November. It's the economy, stupid. And if Americans are not feeling as good about the economy as perhaps, you know, the Trump administration wants to tell them, it's better than it was. Gas prices are lower. Food prices are lower. Jobs are increasing. There's plenty of good news, and I think more coming as interest rates drop and people find things more affordable. But you have to keep the focus there. You have to communicate visually, not just with words, and make sure people see the difference in prices today. You know, if I'm President Trump, I'm regularly at a grocery store with a cart full of where it was now versus where it was under Biden. You have to let people see and feel the difference if they want to win the midterms.
It's not just something you can speak into existence. It actually has to happen. Steve Malzberg, Steve Gill, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Scotty.
You know the phrase America first, it's pretty simple, but the ideas behind it are profound. For generations, American leaders told voters that global stability required American sacrifice, American jobs, American industries, and sometimes even American lives. The America First movement flipped that argument. It said something radical in Washington, but very common sense to millions of Americans. The United States government should prioritize the United States, not the United Nations, not foreign bureaucracies, not global corporations, the American people. That means strong borders, fair trade. It means alliances that benefit both sides, not arrangements where the United States carries the entire burden. And it means a military that is second to none, but used with clarity, purpose, and the understanding that American lives are never expendable. You know, America First is not about withdrawing from the world. It's about leading from a position of strength, a strength rooted in a government that remembers who it works for, the American people. My thanks to Steve Malzberg and Steve Gill for joining us and sharing their insights. And thank you for watching. I'm Scottie Nell Hughes, and this has been America First.